Good morning. Thank you. Lord Jesus, settle our hearts right now as we come into your presence and as we find your face for us as a people. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. We love you. And I pray that as I share this word this morning, I pray that it would pierce hearts. It would just come and do something deep in our hearts this morning, Lord Jesus, as we respond to you and what your word says. Amen. 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 So last week, you may remember Stefan was here and he shared on honor, and it was a great preach. I really found it challenging. I'm sure as many of you did. I've chatted to a few guys in the week. But there was a statement he made in his preach that really gripped me, and it actually just really led into what I wanted to share this morning. Was he made a statement about how the honor is actually more about a posture of our heart. You remember that statement he made, for those of you who were here last week? And I pondered on that, and I thought about it, and I realized how that actually overflows. And there's a scripture that I was reminded of when I thought of that scripture, and it's in Matthew chapter 15, which says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, thefts, false witness, slander." Slander. And I just realized when we talk about honor and how we honor one another and how it's a posture of our heart, that actually a lot of that is the fruit of a heart sometimes is what comes out of our mouths. And so this morning I want to talk on a real practical thing, and it's really that thing about taming the tongue, how we talk, how we use these two lips, this tongue, this thing here, and how it can carry life and how it can carry death. And as I was prepping this week, I was reminded of a story, a scripture, and I want to just share a little story to you guys firstly about something that happened to me as a little boy. And I did send you, Caleb, a picture. I don't know if you were quick and sharp enough to get it on screen. No, that face indicates you didn't. That's fine. So for those of you my age, which is in the 50-plus category, maybe even the 40-plus category, do you ever remember Tom Thumb crackers? Yes. Do the youngsters know what Tom Thumb crackers are? Youngsters, they're looking at me. I'm getting Celine frowning. She says, what the heck? Many of the generation here. So when I was a kid, we used to go down to the cafe or the corner store, and we could buy a pack of Tom Thumb crackers. I mean, I don't know, Caleb, while I'm talking, if you're clever enough to get it up there, you'll be in my grace. You'll be amazing. You'll get brownie points. So when I was a kid, I used to go down and spend my pocket money on these Tom Thumb crackers. And basically, it was a little pack of crackers. And there must have been about 10 of them in that pack, 10 layers of 10 or 10 layers of 100 or 50 or something like that. They were these little crackers. They were tiny little crackers, but they were all strung together by one single wick. You remember that? And then all of those were packed into a little package. And that's how you would buy them. You'd pay, back in my day, you'd pay 50 cents kind of thing. And back in my day. And you would buy these crackers. But I remember having an incident. Have you got it there? No? Okay, don't worry. Go and Google Tom Thumb crackers and you'll see what I'm talking about. Right. So you got it. There we go. He's got it. Thank you. There we go. We all remember the red and the green. The red and the green. And then what we do when you buy the cracker packers, you'd have to open up the wrapping, obviously. And then you'd have these 10 layers of 100 crackers, 100 crackers, 100, and each one you'd have to unwind because you just wanted, you were saving your money, and so you would light one and throw it at the dog or the cat or the pigeon or whatever. That's what we, naughty kids kind of thing, or the person, eh? Yeah, wait, I'm getting there. Or you'd just take off one at a time because you needed to save your money. There we go, okay, there we go, well done, look at that. There they are. So you can see in that one picture, it's got that main wick. So some of us would often do, you'd light that one main wick, and then you could burn off all of them. So I had an incident one year, true story. My parents had gone out. I was left alone at home with, there was actually a friend babysitting me. And I had a pack of these in my cupboard. And I you know this fuse, it's, have you ever seen like when they light dynamite in those old Western movies, you go like that. And I wanted to see if I could light this main fuse, that's this part here, that there on that one, and see how quickly I could nip it out. All right. lo and behold, I was not fast enough. I was not the fastest draw in the West. And I had a whole pack, a whole brand new pack. Actually, I had two brand new packs in my cupboard. Little cubicle of 30 centimeters by 30 centimeters by 60 centimeters deep. And I lit them. And you can imagine what happened. like chaos, smoke billowing out my cupboard. I had the babysitter running down the passage into my room, opening the door, smoke gushing out. Chad, are you all right? You're right. What's going on? I was like, I was choking. It was the sulfuric smell of like noxious. You know what? It made me sick for weeks. I actually developed glandular fever, I think, from that. I don't know. Well, I got some weird sickness from it for weeks. I couldn't eat chicken mayonnaise, I just remember. But this thing went off, and it started to burn my PT shorts. I had white PT pants. It burnt them. My T-shirt was a bit burnt. But I tell you, but thank you, Jesus, I didn't have more clothes in my cupboard. But it caused some serious damage, and I was petrified because when my parents would come home. Crazy story. True story. So I want to read a scripture now, and maybe you can turn in your Bibles together. And it's a long portion, and I just want to, but there's something it's out of the book of James, and I just want to read this to you guys together. Let's just read it from the beginning. Not many of you should be teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. Just go read the scripture over and tell you it's quite deep. But also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and we are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a small rudder, whoever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile, sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. Maybe we just read the scripture and go home. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. For from the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same open both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or grape produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you, by his good conduct let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Go home and read that scripture over and over and over and over and over and over. There's so much truth in that little portion of scripture that it just cuts to the heart. And I wanted to just talk a little bit this morning about our tongue. The thing that has got the power to produce life and to give life, and the same thing that has the power to destroy. And we need to recognize this power. We need to recognize that we have that ability. According to this scripture, if I understand it and if I really just look at it, I realize, man, oh man, this thing is powerful. It can do so much damage. And yet it can also, in the same way, give so much praise. Like, how can one thing that gives so much praise in one hand also be so destructive in another way? And, you know, if I look throughout Scripture and did Google it and did ask for help from AI and Google. So just putting it out there, my disclaimer, because I'm not all that intelligent to be able to come up with these things myself, but and to have enough time to read. But Scripture talks a lot about our mouths, our tongue, our language, and how we communicate. I think there's over 300 different scriptures in the Bible that talk about the tongue and about communicating. And I even realized, just even as we were worshiping, the Lord reminded me of a scripture in first, it's in Peter. I didn't give it to you, but sorry, in 2 Timothy, it just even says that in the last days, there will come difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, you know that scripture, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpleasant, slanderous in the last days. So it's not surprising that we live in a world where slander happens, gossip happens, talk happens. And how many of you know and are not surprised to even find it in the church? I mean, we expect it in the world. We expect it out there. But to find it in the church, what? That you would find that even in the church. Yes, we do. It's a sad reality, but it's also, it is the reality of people who actually build together family. And you know, I've actually been sitting on this message for about a week or two, and even last week during the prayer time, I just had a scripture come into my heart where I felt the Lord saying that love covers a multitude of sin. I think I might have mentioned it last week as well. And I almost felt that even in this, that this might be a correction for some, it might be a rebuke for some, but it might also be an encouragement for some. And I'm taking this as well. When I preach up here, I'm not just preaching, I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself because I know I fall short in these things as well. And I just realized that so often, especially in the church and the family of God, that we lack grace for one another's mistakes. And that scripture about covering love covers over sin speaks about mistakes. It doesn't speak about, like, you know, if your brother's having an affair on the side, just love him and, you know, don't deal with it. No. It says if your brother's messing up by being a real pawpaw, love on him and go, you know, have conversations. And I'm going to get to all those things now. But there's actually so much I want to cover. And I probably won't even do this topic justice because it is such a broad topic. There's so much that can be spoken about it when we think about it. But I do want to go to the heart of that. As a family, how do we respond to one another in these moments? And how do we? Because, you know, when I look across the family, I don't think it's any one of our heart's desire to be cruel or to be hurtful in anything we say or do. I honestly believe that. I mean, I look around this room and I see people that love each other and that lay their lives down. But sometimes we slip into old habits. We slip into things that and patterns maybe, or even just in the name of good, end up doing something bad. Just out of concern or out of, man, like whatever it might be. I think we so often, with all good intention, end up messing up. I have done that countless times. Am I the only one? I don't think so. When I, for all good intention, really with all my heart, trying to do something beautiful and ended up making a mistake. But I think it's human nature, and I'm not wanting to excuse that, but you know, we live by grace, and we need to live under the work of the cross. And when we make these mistakes, it's what we do with them that's the most important. It's how we handle these mistakes. We need that wisdom from above that James speaks about. The Bible says, there's a number of scriptures, and I might just quote one. It says, let no corrupt talk come from your mouths. Let no corrupt talk come from your mouth. And this actually, Bex, I'm looking at this is actually only half my notes. I don't know what happened to the rest of them. Oh, no, there they are. Sorry. Oh, look at that. I just have to scroll down. Ephesians 4:29 says this, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So what? It's an amazing scripture. How's this one? James 1, if anyone thinks he is religious but does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. Like, man, there's just so much on the tongue about the tongue in the Bible. Sorry, this something happened here, and my notes are all over the place now. That's so weird. That's so frustrating. Our tongue is there, firstly, obviously, to communicate, but how do we honor one another in our language? How do we honor each other in the way we talk and communicate with one another? And I think we, as Christians and believers, we need to know, firstly, that the tongue, like I read there in that scripture, it's firstly for encouraging and edifying one another. To honor someone means more than just testing them or treating them precious and treating them precious, but actually edifying and encouraging. How? When last did you encourage someone? When last did you build someone up? When last did you speak life over someone? Our words should always be a source of encouragement. And you know what? You can bring correction through encouraging someone. You don't have to break them down in correcting them. You can correct them if need be through encouraging them. When you speak, do you speak the truth in love? What is your motivation? It should always be love. And that's something I can honestly say. I know that I've messed up at times and I've said things, but I tell you, it's always, my heart is always for people. You know, and I've often had people come and say to me, you know, like you said this, but I see your heart. And I'm so grateful that they see my heart because it's so important. Yes, I might get it wrong sometimes in the wording and it might come out in the moment. And we're all guilty of this. But I tell you what, if it's not motivated in love, sure. We need to be prayerful in our speech. We need to think before we speak, but how often do we go into situations not having really prayed, actually, and really asked the Lord to give us His wisdom? Are you able to outdo each other in showing honor in the way you speak to one another? That's a beautiful scripture. Read it in Romans 12. It says, continue, outdo one another in showing honor. Are we able to do that? What is our motivation? And so, how do we protect one another? How do we protect it? It's by outdoing each other by showing honor. The tongue is something that can destroy and give life. I read that scripture in James. But I tell you, so often I've realized that, you know, we have all good intention, but we just go in sometimes like a bull in a china shop. And again, we sit there in the name of concern and just, you know, I have like concern, and it's actually just unwise and unhealthy. And I know we have all been guilty at some point of doing this. At some point, we've all got ourselves. And then often the mess that unfolds by just that seemingly I was just concerned actually does so much more damage. Church, hear me, please. Watch your language. Watch your tongues. Watch the way you speak to one another. And don't speak about one another. You know, Matthew 18 is a scripture that often many of us quote in the moment. And if you don't know it, actually it says about this, if your brother sins against you, go directly to him. Now, again, that sin is not necessarily only talking about sin that leads to death. And I don't want to go into that part, but there are, for me, if I understand scripture, there's death, there's sin that leads to death. And then this other sin that the Bible talks about is, like I mentioned, that other scripture, love covers a multitude of sins. It's sin, it's like our mistakes. And so when we mess up, how do we deal with it? We go, according to Matthew 18, I don't think I gave it to you, sorry. But we need to go to one another directly, firstly. But I think so often we just go to each other because without having gone to the Lord first. And then so often we go to someone, but we've gone to someone else first to get their perspective on the situation. I just need to see if my heart's okay. And the Bible doesn't say if you have an issue with someone, make sure that you've sorted out your heart. And it just says go to that person. And I believe you can go to a person even when your heart's miffed and even when your heart's fraught and sit there and go, man, I'm sickling here. Let's process it together. Let's keep the link short. Like so often I've heard, and even myself, I've made the mistake that we go to someone and say, I just want to process something with you because I've got an issue with someone else. How do you know in that moment you've actually just slandered them? But I believe, and I was reading this, I believe the way that we can deal with our sometimes our conflict, the way we resolve issues is we actually go, you know what, I'm struggling. and let's talk. And if the person doesn't hear you, then the Bible actually gives us clear indication of what we can do. It gives us steps. It's beautiful. It gives us a step-by-step process. It says if you still don't feel he's heard you, then take someone with you. A mediator, someone of neutral standing, someone that's not going to be for you or against you. Like, take someone who's neutral and go and sit with a person and have a conversation. Say, this was my experience. And then you have, but it's kept tight. And then the thing is, then don't go talk about it to someone else. But it's just between the three of you. And then still, if the person still isn't heard, and he still isn't, then it says you take it to the elders in the church. There is a way that you can escalate things. And I know some of us know this. We've heard it. Hey, I mean, come on, I think 90% of us have heard this before, hey, where we know like this. But this for me is, again, like a reminder and encourage. Like, I realize that so often we get caught up in things and life that we forget these things. And we make these mistakes. And it's just a fresh reminder that if someone does something to you that we just so quickly, in the name of, like, in concern and love, and did you experience it the same way as me, that we end up not actually honoring each other. And we call to love one another. I was reminded this morning in chatting with the elders before the service of Irina's word that came up just before they moved to Cape Town about our love for one another being tested. How many of you know that our love for one another will be tested through our conversations and through what we say? Because for me, this thing is actually fundamentally rooted in how we love one another. Do we love each other well? Because if we do love each other well, we'll follow Scripture. And Scripture gives us clear guidelines. It's not hard to follow. Yet we do make mistakes, okay? And that's why I'm trying to balance it with saying, yes, follow the guidelines of Scripture, but when we do make mistakes, let's have grace for one another. Because there's a balance here. I mean, we don't want to swing it all the way that, you know, like, let's da, 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 and then not forget about the other side of the angle. That we need to have grace for one another. But I believe in order for us to become mature and more like Jesus, we need to get this right. And me included. I'm not putting myself as one who has not succumbed to this mistake, this sin. I'm going to maybe say it a bit stronger because it really is. Thank you, Dan. He reminded me this week that anything that misses the mark is sin. Will I die because I don't know if I don't repent of it before I walk out and go there. But I tell you what, I'm going to make mistakes. Every one of us are going to make mistakes. But man, what do we do with our mistakes? That's the most important. Are we quick to repent? Are we quick to go back to the person and even go to them and say, man, I'm sorry, I messed up. I was too hard. I was too strong with you. I'm sorry it went that way. Can we have grace for one another? Humble ourselves, posture up, hearts into that place where we honor one another, that we can go, man, you know, it's okay. Don't let it happen again. But that we learn from our mistakes. I mean, I remember as a child, I mean, that was something my parents gave. You got to learn from your mistakes. You would get her finger out. You got to learn. Like, I want to learn from our mistakes. I know every one of us wants to learn from our mistakes. But when we make, let's not keep on making the same mistakes. Can we grow? Can we become more like Jesus? Can we be made more into his likeness? I mean, that is the point. We are to be holy as he is holy. We've been speaking about that as well. We sing about it a lot, Lord. You know, we want to be holy. We want to be more like you, Jesus. Less of me, more of you. And this for me is a simple, practical way of how we can actually become more like Jesus. And I want to go back to that initial scripture in James. We spoke about how, I mean, this blows my mind, is that we see the scripture, how can a spring have salt water and fresh water? Has anyone ever seen that? I don't think I've ever seen that a spring has fresh and salt water, yet our mouths can have life and death. That's like quite profound. Quite profound. I'm probably rushing over this, and my mind's actually, to be honest, I was actually so nervous to get up here and share this morning. I even said to the elders, I feel like I'm going to offend some of you. And you know what? That's okay. I'm not afraid to offend because this is not Chad's words. It's the Bible. I felt so anxious and nervous getting up here and standing and even, you know, just going, Jesus, help. But I want to leave us with almost an anagram just very quickly. And it's the word think. When you speak, think. Is what you're saying true? Is what you're saying helpful? Is what you say inspiring? Is what you say necessary? And is what you say kind? And when you speak, do you reflect Jesus? You get that? True, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind. Ultimately, the Bible calls us to be calls for intentional, grace-filled speech that reflects God's values. And I love that scripture. I think I had it down. I don't know if I wrote it down now. I can't. But it said, let your speech be seasoned with salt. And now we're going, what is it, a salt spring or a fresh spring? No, don't get lost there. But basically, the salt that it's talking about there, salt that actually gives life. Because in the Old Testament and in those times, salt was something that was used as fertilizer. It was used as something that brought sterilization. And there was, it preserved. It could also destroy. Too much salt, actually, funny enough, can be really detrimental. But in this context, the salt was not just the salt that we put on our food. It was actually something that was rich with nutrients. And let our language be rich with nutrients for one another. That when we speak life. And that when we do find ourselves in a conversation that's starting to go off a little bit and someone else comes, you know, it's like, you know, the Bible talks about this. The Bible talks about the marriage bed being undefiled, the husband and wife. One was. So maybe let our conversations be undefiled. Two people, not a third person involved, that if they're not there with you. I mean, the Bible's very clear about how the marriage bed should be. And I want to almost take it to that level. Because that's a very intimate picture of the husband and wife, nobody else. No pornography, nothing coming into that marriage. It's the husband and wife. And so in our conversations, let them be with the other person, not about the other person. Did you hear about so-and-so? No. And if you have got anything to say about someone, let it be good and encouraging and building. I'm training myself, and it is something we have to train ourselves to do, that if someone else is brought up in another conversation, I honor them and lift them up. I think, yes, somebody the other day dropped something, and I said, man, that guy's an incredible young man. Yes, I'm so excited that he's part of our congregation. What a blessing. He brings life. He brings momentum. Man, he's just beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. And that's how we need to be. That if we're ever going to speak about someone else in any context, that we build up and encourage and speak life about that person, that it's not negative in any way. And if you do find yourself get caught in that, you go quickly to that person. You stop the bus and you go, man, I made a mistake. I am so sorry. I ended up finding myself being part of a conversation with you, and I said something I shouldn't have. Be quick to do it. Process it. Go before the Father and ask Him to forgive you. Are you listening? Ask Him to forgive you first and foremostly. And then you go to that person. You say, "But I'm so sorry. I found myself in a conversation. It was all well-intended, but it went south very quickly. I'm sorry." Go to the person who you had that conversation with and say, "Actually, you know what? We messed up. We were wrong. We need to go and make right. Let's guard the unity. This is how we guard the unity. Because this thing is like a wildfire. That cracker's in my cupboard. Tell you what, one little cracker, it was chaos. A little cracker. Because we are all intertwined together. If we don't get this right, if we don't apply this, man, I tell you what, it's going to destroy us. And the devil is out. That scripture I read from 2 Timothy, it's in the last days. We are in the last days. We're faced with challenges. That the temptation to be slanderous is there. The temptation to speak out of turn is there. But guard our tongues. Guard our language. Let's be honoring to one another. Let us love like Christ loved, that He laid His life. Lay your lives down for one another, folk. Lay your lives down. Be encouraging. And if you do, again, a reminder, what do? You go to that person in love, but having processed it with, don't process it with someone else. Process it with that person. The Bible does, I want to just harp on that as I close, because I feel like I almost lost an opportunity there to harp that one a little bit. I just want to stand on that nail and ram it in kind of thing. If you struggle with someone, go to them. Don't go to your comm leader. Don't even go to the elders. Don't come to us. If someone does something wrong, you go to that person. Don't come to us. If that person doesn't hear you and doesn't respond well to you, then you say, can I pull a friend? And then you sit down with them. I mean, the elders, in a sense, should be the last resort. mean, that's what that scripture in Matthew 18 says. It's actually the third line of defense. It's not the second line of defense, these things. And for me, this is that reminder of going, hey, guys, how are we meant to love each other well? How are we meant to honor Jesus and honor each other? This thing, let's do it in a way that glorifies Jesus.